Followers of occultist Aleister Crowley are going to be welcomed back to his former Highland home as it's being transformed into a wellness retreat for yoga and meditation and other wellness things that are really just occult rituals. Also, did you know that some Christians are using prophecy as fortune-telling? They're fortune-telling, but they're calling it prophecy. How to tell the difference? We're going to talk about all that and more on today's Peck Report. Well, we got a lot of cool stuff to talk about. There are some big things happening with Daily Renegade. First and foremost, the website just underwent a new set of design changes and stuff like that. So we're constantly improving, and which is a reason that you want to be a member. But also, we're going to do something a little bit different. Instead of only focusing on what we would probably call Daily Renegade originals, all the original shows that we have. You know, we have Peck Report, you have The Christian Contrarian with Gary Wayne, you have Through the Black Uncensored, plus the number of shows that's coming up. You got a lot of stuff right now. Even more than that, we're going to start approaching some of your favorite and my favorite fringe Christian researchers, speakers, and we are going to try to bring their content in as well. Now this would be stuff that you would have to go and search all over YouTube to find, but if you're a member, you'll have it all there. And I don't want to say any names yet because I haven't yet approached anybody, but the goal is to make Daily Renegade the Netflix of fringe Christianity. Netflix is garbage because their content is horribly anti-Christian. You know, Hulu is like that too. They're all like that. So wouldn't it be nice if there was a video platform where you could enjoy some originals that you can't get anywhere else, like what we do here, but you could also have all of your favorites right there in the same service, on the same website, in the same app that's going to be developed soon. That is the goal. That is what we are going to be doing next. But for all of that, you're going to have to become a member. So make sure you go to dailyrenegade.com today. Become a member. Check out the new website. We're still fixing some bugs and getting some little things worked out. But we have an amazing web developer that's dealing with it. He's also we're going to bring him on the show too once it's all done, so he can explain to you directly all of the cool new features of the website. But you want to make sure you become a member today because, like I've said before, YouTube has officially demonetized us. Yes, we can reapply in like a couple of weeks or 30 days. I actually don't know if I want to because they're just going to remove it again. I don't know. We have relied on ad revenue for so long, and so it's difficult to see how without a big surge in membership orders, how we're going to continue. But we are going to continue. I fully believe that God is at the helm on this one, and we're going to be fine. But I can't promise that membership fee will not increase for new members. Now, I've said this before. If you already have a membership, your membership fee is going to stay the same. $10 a month or $100 a year, it's not going to increase. It's going to stay the same. This would be for new members. So get it now. Get a membership now while you can, while it's still really cheap. Because we don't know, especially with all the new features that we're going to add, it's going to increase the value of what we're building. So I've said this before. If you follow me online, I've said, look, ditch Netflix. Instead, get a subscription to Daily Renegade. It's going to be far worth it. You're going to be a lot more enriched spiritually. And you're going to find a lot of stuff there that you like. Okay, so let's talk about Aleister Crowley. Now, he's obviously a pretty infamous figure. If you've been watching there's a new show called Strange Angel about Jack Parsons, and I believe they're in season 2 now, and Crowley has made an appearance. Sorry, my suit jacket is a little scratchy, but his home now is being restored. This comes from Scotsman.com. It says the former Highland home of occultist Aleister Crowley is to be restored and converted into a wellness retreat where yoga and meditation will be taught, as well as the teachings of the notorious religious leader. So this isn't going away. Like I've said before, it's getting more and more pervasive. New Age, you know, yoga meditation is Satanism. It's all the same evil. It's just, it's called different things. It's shrouded. But it says Boleskine House on the southwest banks of Loch Ness was destroyed by a fire in 2015, but has now been purchased by three as of yet unnamed investors who paid a total of $500,000 for the property and gardens. The Boleskine Foundation has now been launched to drive the restoration of the property, with parts of the historic estate, which was built in the 1760s, to be open to the public. Meanwhile, it's understood that the Boleskine Foundation has been in discussion with Ordo Templi Orientis, or OTO, a religious organization previously led by Aleister Crowley, about giving access to its followers. Yes, if you had any thought that this that the OTO was dead, it is not. Crowley developed the religion of Thelema with many Thelemites who believe in individualism and the power of free will. It goes a lot further than that, considering Boleskine House to be a holy place. Look, you know, there are going to be articles that are going to tone down what it really is about. It's more than just individualism and the power of free will. It is absolutely satanic. It is some of the most evil stuff. If you actually research this topic, it's some of the most evil stuff you can imagine. It's absolutely sick, and it is all designed to elevate the self above all else. You know, the self is God. There is no God but the self. It's all that. But the rituals and just the overwhelming evil involved in this movement. So it says a statement on their foundation's website said it wanted to, quote, preserve the historical legacy and heritage of the, end quote, of the estate for the, quote, greater benefit of the public, end quote. See, it's seen as a greater benefit of the public to open this up to these rituals, to these followers. It added, quote, upon its complete restoration, our volunteers intend to use the estate to promote education on the heritage of the house, to welcome the enjoyment of its structure and sounding gardens, and to help generate awareness of health and wellness. Listen to the wording there. Listen to the messaging, how they make it sound so wonderful, don't they? New Age does this too. They'll take some of the most evil things and try to make it sound like the most wonderful, it's the best possible, most enlightening thing. They focus on health and education. That's not what is going on. The quote continues, such initiatives will include active outreach into the communities of which Boleskine House and its surrounding land hold significant historic value and benefit. So outreach, they're going to go evangelize more followers. Continuing on with the quote, such communities include but are not limited to the local community of Foyers, the wider community of Scottish heritage and historic environment, and communities who value Boleskine to be of significant spiritual import, of which we will promote events and activities that facilitate health and wellness, such as meditation and yoga, as well as education on Thelema, the spiritual legacy forwarded by previous Boleskine House owner Aleister Crowley. Notice the repetition of words. They keep repeating health, wellness, education. They keep repeating these words over and over and over again because those are the things they want to get stuck in your head. They're in a sense, it's a type of hypnosis. They're trying to get this lie stuck in your head. Again, if you repeat a lie often enough and loud enough, people will start to believe it. Another very infamous individual said that, but that's what they're trying to do. What's really going on here, this evangelism of the most evil order, it's launching the world towards Armageddon. It's launching the world towards all the things that we read about in Revelation. And they know it. They want this battle. They want this end time battle because they believe they can win it. But the unfortunate thing is people who are just kind of on the outskirts, maybe people who are just meddling in New Age stuff and they don't realize that this is the end point. they're here on the fringe, they're going to be lost too. You know, they're going to be sucked in by this. It's a black hole. Once you travel too far, you can't get out of it. And that's what they're doing. So they're very passionate about going out and you know, they call it, you know, reaching communities, community outreach and stuff. But again, that's just one of those words that doesn't mean what it really is. They're evangelizing people into this evil order. It says a statement on the Thelemites website said it was truly fantastic news that the new owners intended to cooperate with OTO to allow access to the house and land in a way which has hitherto not been possible. Crowley, who bought Boleskine in 1900, conducted various black magic rituals at the house, including a 6-month-long experiment to raise his guardian angel. It is said the experiment was not properly completed, with the spirits raised by Crowley never fully banished, leading to a number of unexplained events at Boleskine. You know what would be great is if instead of just these rotten to the core evil people buying this house and opening it like this, it'd be great if some wealthy Christians would get together, buy the house, and then do some community outreach by spreading the gospel. You know, first rid the house of any evil spirits in the name of Jesus. You know, Christians can do that. Rid the house in the name of Jesus, claim it as a house of God. And then do some community outreach and reach the community, take the community back for Jesus Christ. That would be nice to see. It says Crowley developed the new religion of Thelema, which observes a number of feasts throughout the year. After honeymooning in Egypt in 1904, he claimed to have been contacted by a supernatural entity who provided him with the Book of the Law, a sacred text that served as the basis for Thelema. They include the feast of the first night of the prophet and the bride on August 12th, which celebrates Crowley's first marriage to Rose Kelly, who assisted in his original revelations. While it is planned to open up the main rooms of Boleskine House to the public, the property will be closed at certain times of the year to be used by those, quote, who consider the house and lands to have spiritual importance, end quote. So these rituals are going to continue. This land is going to be continually bathed in a spiritual darkness over and over and over and over again. That's going to spread throughout the world. You know, this isn't the only place like this. There are a lot of places like this in the world. And the more this happens, it spreads this darkness over the face of the earth. You know, the enemy, Satan doesn't care if it's Thelemites or if it's Satanists or if it's New Agers or, you know, he doesn't care. The enemy doesn't care because it doesn't matter. It gets the job done. And we as Christians have to quit caring about our denominational walls, and we have to learn to work together. You know, if the enemy is working towards a common goal, and they are, why can't we? Why can't we set aside our non-salvation issues, our differences, set that aside and go evangelize the world like we're supposed to? Why can't we get to work? The enemy is getting to work and they're winning. We should be taking back this and many other lands and people in the name of Jesus Christ. We need to get out there and make disciples of all nations. It continues, memorial celebrations may also be held in the gardens where ashes can be scattered for certain communities who feel the estate holds spiritual importance. All right, so we talked about that. And it says Boleskine House was built in the 1760s by Archibald Fraser, British consul in Tripoli and Algiers, and a member of Clan Fraser. Crowley paid $2,000 for the secluded property, more than twice the market value of the day. Boleskine became so important to Crowley that he taught his followers to focus their spiritual intent in its direction. The foundation says, quote, for over a century, many people have considered Boleskine to be spiritually important, a magical place of sublime beauty, end quote. Again, notice the messaging here. The cost of restoring the building has been estimated at $730,000, with the foundation saying the revival of Boleskine House will be a loss-making endeavor. Quote, nevertheless, the buyers and volunteers of the project believe that Boleskine should be restored as a heritage landmark and open to the public so that its history, spirit, and legacy may be enjoyed for generations to come. End quote. And that comes directly from the foundation. The history should be remembered. The spirit and legacy should be destroyed. The spirit and the legacy should instead be handed over to Jesus Christ. We as Christians should take that back. The history should be remembered so we know what happens when we are not there to do what Jesus Christ commands us to do, make disciples of all nations. When we're not there, this kind of stuff happens, this evil stuff. Bullskin House was bought by rock hero Jimmy Page, founder of the group Led Zeppelin in 1970, although he seldom visited Bullskin, which was later sold and used as a bed and breakfast. A crowdfunder has been launched to support the restoration of the property with a clearance weekend of the fire-damaged house organized for mid-August. Volunteers are expected to come from around the world for the event, it is understood. That's the end of the article. So people will come from around the world for this. But where are we? Where are we as the church? Where are we in these matters? Why don't we get involved? I remember watching a video a while ago of the late David Flynn, where he and a number of people, I believe Jim Wilhelmson was involved in it. They traveled to Roswell and reclaimed that land in the name of Jesus Christ, and they filmed the whole thing. It was amazing. We need to have more of that kind of stuff, that kind of outreach. But we don't need to, you know. At the same time, we don't need to do it and leave. You know, that's like what revivals do. You know, a revival will come into a town, do a little revival under a tent, you know, but then they leave. We need to actually keep an outpost. You know, we need to actually stay there. We need to keep a presence there to make sure that the evil doesn't come back. It's not good enough to just go and leave. We need to set up, we as the church, and look, I'm not being critical at all of what David Flynn and Jim Wilhelmson and all those people were doing. And actually, I do think that if I remember right, I believe Jim actually had a shop for a while in Roswell where he was evangelizing people. So I'm not being critical. Critical of that, and something is better than nothing, but at the same time, we as the church, I am being critical of the church, us Christians, all of us, we need to do a better job of coming together towards this effort of getting rid of the evil, and then maintaining the land for Christ, maintaining it, keeping it, tending the garden. You know, you can't just go and then leave. The garden will die. You need to tend the garden. You need to keep a presence there and make sure the evil doesn't return, because there's always going to be a snake that's going to come back in. All right, we do have to talk about how some Christians are using fortune telling, and they're calling it prophecy. But before we do, I got to tell you about my friends at Coastline Kratom. So many of you are chronic pain sufferers, as I am. I love Coastline Kratom. I take Kratom every day. And actually, since I'm going to talk to you in a minute about CBD as well, but since I've been taking Kratom and CBD, I haven't needed as much Kratom since taking them together, but I'll talk about that in a minute. Listen, with all this stuff, you got to do your own research. The good thing about CBD is it's non-psychoactive, so you know you're not going to take it to get high. But there's a lot of false reporting going on right now about Kratom. If you are a member of Daily Renegade, then you have access to a video I did about Kratom and some of the supposed Kratom-related deaths that aren't true. I can't talk about it really here on YouTube because YouTube deleted that video. And so with a stern warning that possible deletion of the whole channel could come about. So I can't really give too much information. I'll just say, do your own research. The research is out there. View it from both sides. Come to your own conclusion. But we do have an opioid crisis in this country. That is an objective fact. We have an opioid crisis in this country. This could be the solution. If you give any credence to anecdotal evidence, because that's all there really is right now, Kratom has saved lives. It has certainly saved mine. I could go on and on about that. Really, I can't in the free forum of YouTube, but I could. You know, I could. So what's great about Coastline Kratom, they have a wide variety of different strains, so you can see what you like, so you can test your own tolerance, you know, see what works for you. I suggest picking up the beginner's pack, the beginner's enhanced pack. What's good about that is if you happen to have a higher tolerance, then it's enhanced, so it's a little stronger. But if you have a lower tolerance, then you really don't need much at all, and it'll last you a long time. Also, there's been a longstanding effort from the FDA and DEA to get kratom banned. That's why a lot of this false reporting has been coming out. So it's good to stock up now while you can, because you may not have a choice. You may not have a chance later. Now you do have to, you can do it right on their website. You do have to set up a Zelle Pay account, because most credit cards don't want to deal with the sale of kratom. It's okay. It's super easy. You just set up a Zelle Pay account right on their website. It only takes a second, and then you can buy as much as you want. So there's two things you can do. You can either click on the link in the description below if you're viewing this on YouTube, or just go to dailyrenegade.com and find the ad. You can do that. But again, the easiest thing, you're already here on YouTube. You can just click on the link in the description below. They're great. They also offer a money-back guarantee. So no risk to you. If you try it, don't like it, you can get your money back. Also, while you're there, you can check out my friends at CBD Pure and CBD Pets. Yes, there is actually a CBD product. There is actually a hemp oil for your pets. So if they suffer from anxiety issues or any number of things that this could help with, check it out. What I like about this company, it's one company, two products. What I like about this company is they are very transparent. So they go through a third party independent testing facility to test every batch they make, so they can show that all of their CBD, every batch of their CBD, is totally pure, organic, non-GMO, pesticide-free, all of the stuff that you want in a good CBD. And they put their results, they put all of their testing and all their scientific results and things right on their website. So, and they also offer a money-back guarantee. So there really is no risk to you. That's how much they believe in this product, and I believe in it too. Like I said, I take it every day. I take just half of a plungerful an hour or so before bed, and I sleep great. I haven't been sleeping so good lately. It's just I'm probably overworked. There's a lot going on with my son and the leukemia, and there's just a lot. It's a lot. So if I can get a good night's rest, I am sold. And so since taking CBD Pure, I sleep great at night now. And I've had to take less kratom. I haven't needed as much kratom for my chronic pain. So it works great. But again, do your own research. Again, it is non-psychoactive, so you're not going to I got an email from somebody today asking that was kind of worried about that. Should we as Christians be taking this stuff? If you're taking it to try to get high, then no, of course not. But you're not going to have much luck. But if you're taking it because you're trying to restore something that's broken within you, I have chronic pain. That's something that I want restoration for. Then kratom CBD can be great for that. If you don't sleep good, if you have some anxiety, if you have stress, all this stuff that our modern world puts on us, this can really help. But again, do your own research. You can click on the link in the description below, or just go to dailyrenegade.com and find the link, find the ad, find the banner ad. Okay, so we are, there's a lot of cool things happening. Make sure that you become a member for all the reasons that I've already stated at the beginning of the program. If you want to do that, head on over to dailyrenegade.com. It is only $10 a month or $100 a year. Ditch the flicks, ditch your Netflix. Get off of Netflix and come over to dailyrenegade.com and be a member of our family instead. We will treat you right. All right, we are going to switch over to member-only content. So if you are a member, keep watching. If you are viewing for free on YouTube or Facebook, please subscribe to this channel, click the bell for notifications, and consider becoming a member. There's other ways. If you want to write for Daily Renegade, we're always looking for talented writers who can write articles. You'll get a free membership if you do that. As long as you write at least once a month, I'd prefer more than that, but at least once a month, you'll get a membership. And you can promote your own website on your articles. You'll get full credit, all that. If you want to do that, my email is joshpeckdisclosure@gmail.com. And email me an article of 2,000 words or more. It's topic of your choice. Don't ask for me to assign a topic. I'm not going to do it. Any topic that you'd like, but something that you think would do well with Daily Renegade. You know what I'd love to see? I always love to see prophecy stuff. I would love to see some more commentary on current events, stuff in the news, maybe some political stuff. I'd love to see some of that, some investigative journalism. That kind of stuff would be really cool. But you get a free membership, so you can work off your membership fee doing that way. So anybody that contributes and helps the ministry, you get a free membership. So consider that. We might also do some affiliate kind of thing where, you know, we might do something coming up. I'm looking into it now where members of Daily Renegade, they can sell memberships and get a cut of that, you know, like 25% or something. They can get a percentage of that sale. Because we're trying to think of what we can do to bring in more membership sales to compensate for the ad revenue that we lost when YouTube took us off of AdSense. So... but all that aside, best thing you can do, keep us in prayer, pray for this ministry, this company, business, whatever we're calling it. Keep it in prayer. Pray that God leads this in the way that he wants it to go. And pray for me, pray for everybody who works here, because there are employees that do, rely on a salary and, on, you know, on revenue from, Daily Renegade. So, make sure you keep us all in prayer, please. And thank you so much. So, members-only content coming up for everybody else. Thank you so much. And until next time, take care and God bless. Okay, members only. Now, thank you so much for your membership, by the way. Very much appreciated. And let me know what you think of the new website. Also, if you have been commenting and you notice your comment doesn't show up right away, there's some feature that we're trying to figure out how to turn off, but there's some feature where, like, I have to click approve before the comment will go live. We're trying to get rid of that. I've already got my web developer on it because I don't want to approve every single comment. I want you guys to be able to just comment and say whatever you want. And I, you know, if you're paying a membership fee, I can't imagine that you're going to pay a fee just to go and troll other people. So I don't want to regulate that. I want you guys to be able to talk freely without needing approval by me. So that is why, though. That's why. Because I'm not on the computer all the time, and I'm not always available to approve all of them. So keep commenting. I'll you know, we're going to get that feature turned off, so you won't need my, you know, approval or anything. Also, if you've checked out the website, there are some new features. It's basically kind of becoming like its own little social media platform, as well as being the Netflix of fringe Christianity. So I'm really excited about that. We got some cool stuff coming up. Let's talk about fortune telling and how some Christians are using it and calling it prophetic. So there was an opinion piece written lately on Charisma News, which I thought was really good. It's well written and it's very telling, no pun intended. Well, maybe a pun a little bit intended, but it says prophetic words are powerful and true prophetic words should produce results. People want to desperately hear from the Spirit of the Lord, but are we tapping into another spirit when we pay for prophecy? Are we inviting a familiar spirit to speak through a prophet when we give money for a prophetic word? Are we opening the doors to the demonic by paying for a word? Very, very good questions. The Bible instructs us to be honorable to a prophet. Matthew 10:41 says, "He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward." So we should, by all means, give love offerings and financial support to a prophet. You know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. God loves a cheerful giver. Let every man give according to the purpose in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity. See, it shouldn't be forced or you know, compelled. For God loves a cheerful giver. You know, somebody who's doing it willingly out of the goodness of their own heart. That's 2 Corinthians 9:7. However, it also says, not grudgingly or out of necessity. We should desire to give to a prophet because they have blessed us. Usually giving to a prophet after a time of ministry, during a love offering, in the following weeks following ministry or for a special need. However, we should not be giving a love offering in advance for a prophetic word. And that's absolutely true. Now, if somebody's offering you a service, like say what we're doing here at Daily Renegade, we're not, your membership fee doesn't go to somebody giving you a personal prophecy. Like we're never gonna do that. You know, I've actually been saying that ever since I started. You know, even if you donate, we're happy to take your donation. It'll go to the future progress of the ministry and all that. But we're never going to be the kind of people that's going to promise you a prophetic word or promise you that you're going to get some type of return on your seed offering. Like, we're not about that. But here's the thing. For a service like Daily Renegade, as you know, it costs money to do that. It costs money to set all this up. It does not cost money for a prophet to give you a prophecy. God isn't charging him. You know, God isn't saying to the prophet, well, you know, you need to give me $50, so you got to go get that from somebody else. God gives the gifts of the Spirit freely. Thus, they should be given freely. You know, a prophet should give a prophecy freely without expecting that person who receives the prophecy is going to pay anything for it, because it's not about that. Is it a money-making scheme? What exactly is that money going towards? What is the cost to the prophet to receive a word from the Lord and give it to somebody else? Ridiculous thing to charge money for. But of course, there's countless websites that say to send in $25 or a $50 love offering for a prophetic word. There's even churches saying to sign up for a prophetic word at this time with this person. And, you know, we're then crossing the borders of fortune telling and expecting a prophet or a prophetic person operating in the gifts of the Spirit to be able to give us a prophetic word. You know, that's the thing. It's the gifts of the Holy Spirit, not the gift of a man who's wielding or controlling the Holy Spirit. A prophet, unless specifically ordained by God, like if God said, okay, at this time on this day, I'm going to give you a word to give to this person. Except for that, a prophet can't control the gift of prophecy. It's given by God when God's going to give it. There are times that God might give somebody the gift of prophecy for just one instance, you know, one time in his life for one other person once. Does that mean that that person is a prophet? At that time, he is. You know, there have been times that God has given me dreams that has helped Christina in some way, my wife, and there are times that God has given her dreams that has helped me. Does that mean we're prophets? No, it just means for that time, for that, you know, specific circumstance, he gave us a gift that helped us. I can't control it, neither can she. That's up to God. So yeah, it's more than annoying when a so-called prophet will say, you know, at this time, at this specific. Now again, the only time that could work is if God already said to the prophet, you know, at this time I'm going to give you. But even then, you know, if a prophet is saying that God told me that, you got to be skeptical. You know, the gifts of the Spirit are completely active, you know, of course, but not every prophet that says he's a prophet is a prophet. That is greatly abused. It says, most people operating in the gifts of the Spirit, and specifically the gift of prophecy, cannot turn their prophetic on at any moment's notice. Exactly. If prophets are soliciting money for a prophetic word, how can the purity and integrity of the ministry and word be trusted? You don't know what they just did an hour before they recorded your word and sent it back to you. Honestly, you don't know if they have one general word that they send out to all their paying clients. Exactly. They can be very vague. And then it is just fortune telling. Says there's no difference between paying for a fortune teller versus paying for a prophetic word. We shouldn't have assigned times and amounts to give to receive a word. And then the writer says, I remember one time I was invited to another country to minister. The conference host had set times the ministers were to sit at tables, and people from the conference could form a line at their table and get a word. Being a minister, I was assigned to be at one of these tables. I didn't show up for the prophetic time. I would not participate, and I heard my table had a line of people waiting and asking for me. However, that type of prophetic ministry does not come from the unction of the Holy Spirit and is not keeping the prophetic pure. Absolutely correct. And this comes from the writer of this is Kathy DeGraw, who on the Charisma website says is a prophetic deliverance minister releasing the love and power of God to ignite and activate people, release prophetic destinies and deliver people from the bondage of the enemy. Okay, so this is somebody who's already like in this culture, so it's good to see like this level of transparency that yes, this stuff happens and it's not of the Holy Spirit. When people come up and ask me for a word, I tell them, you can get all the words you want. Just open your Bible and read it. It is full of words for you. Absolutely. We wonder why churches don't embrace the prophetic and street evangelism is so difficult. There is so much false and wishy-washy prophetic content out there, and Christians not using it purely because people are hesitant and have shut off being open to the prophetic. Yes. And I admittedly, unfortunately, am one of those. I fully believe that the prophetic gift is active today. But the second I shouldn't be like this probably, but I've had so many people come up to me with a word for me or even in an email, Josh, the Lord told me to tell you this, and then it doesn't pan out or it's so vague that it could mean anything and doesn't really help me. Or they say something, you know, that's going on, but isn't going on at all, you know, in our lives. I've had that so much, I become jaded to the whole thing. So I'm immediately suspicious when somebody tells me that they have a word or when somebody tells me about their friend who gives prophetic words to people. And it's not that I don't believe it. And I know that I have a little bit of a disconnect with this because I do believe that the prophetic gifts, I do believe in the gift of prophecy. I do believe there are modern day prophets. Yet, when I'm presented with one, I'm immediately suspicious, and because I don't know that I've ever really, maybe I have, I don't know, because sometimes my suspicion can get in the way too, and a lot of times I would rather just not hear what they have to say, because then I have to, you know, I don't want to shut the Holy Spirit down, or I don't want to deny God, but I do want to deny somebody who thinks they're a prophet and may not be, maybe abusing the gift, even unknowingly. There's a lot of people that think they have the gift of prophecy and they don't. They really believe that they have the gift of prophecy, but they don't. There's a lot of people like that. You've met them. I've met them too. Not everybody is like that. There are people who do actively operate in the gift of prophecy, but you know, again, I've just seen so much of the abuse of it. It's hard for me when I'm confronted with it, you know, it's really, really hard for me to believe it in that instance. You know, I'm almost like Thomas when it comes to that. And many of you can probably relate to that, which, by the way, you can leave comments and talk about it and stuff, you know. But you know, I still am open to it because I do believe in it. But that's why I like articles like this. So she goes on. I've actually never heard of Kathy DeGraw before, but this is my only... this is the only thing I've seen or heard from her, but I like this. I think this is a good approach. So she says, we need to test the spirits, and what Christians don't know is that paying for prophecy can invite a familiar spirit into operate. We can tap into a false spirit just as they did in the Bible. We don't know the struggles prophets are experiencing, how much they are praying before sending or giving you that paid word, or what else is going on in their life to distort their discernment. Most importantly, it is not pure and right to sell a prophetic word and mask it as give us a love offering and we'll send you a word. If we want to release the prophetic, we must clean up the prophetic. If we want to be prophetic, we need to honor the prophetic. Where do you need to change your thinking today to be part of the generation who wants to come forth and bring forth pure prophetic? And I absolutely agree with that. You know, I don't think we can be skeptical and suspicious to the point that anybody who has, you know, and like I said, I recognize that I personally have a disconnect here because I'm immediately suspicious of everybody. But we can't do that. That actually does do damage, because if somebody is actually a prophet or actually has a prophecy and we just shut them off as a false prophet, then we're not allowing the gift of prophecy to operate in the church at all. And remember, we do have free will. God's not going to force himself on us. You know, he's not going to force you to have a gift that you don't want. You have free will in all of this, just like you have free will to reject Christ. Not a good idea, but he does award you that free will. So we can exercise our free will and just deny that anybody's a prophet, but then we're doing great, great damage. We're doing great damage to the church. And, but at the same time, we can't just let everybody who thinks that they're a prophet operate that way in the church, because then it does what we see today. It causes people like me. I used to really believe, like, anytime somebody said they were a prophet, I went through a time where I really believed them. Like, every time I would really believe them, and I would want it to be so true, so bad, that I would try to make whatever prophecy they said to me, I would try to make it true and twist things around and twist my interpretation of events around in my head to try to make it fit. And it just got to the point I just couldn't do it. It reminded me too much of New Age. This kind of thing, briefly. Well, it happened before I got into New Age, so I recognized it from that. But it also happened briefly after I came out of New Age. Because after I came out of New Age, I immediately went to the more charismatic type of denominations. Not saying anything negatively about them broadly. But there are a lot of problems in the charismatic church, not broadly. It's not like there's, I should say it like this. There are some charismatic churches, individual buildings led by certain pastors that are just completely off the wall, not operating in anything godly or good. And I went to a lot of those, thought it was real, and it reminded me too much of New Age stuff. It got to the point that I just couldn't stomach it, because it felt to me like the real power of Jesus that I felt after I got out of New Age, that convinced me all the New Age garbage was garbage. This stuff felt more like the New Age. It didn't feel like the raw, like, actual real power of Jesus. It just felt like, you know, New Age tomfoolery, really. I mean, it was just New Age stuff. So I totally get what the writer of this article is saying, and I agree with it 100%. But I would like to know what you think, as always. Have you been burned by false prophecies and false prophets and people like that? Have you been burned before, and has it, like me, has that abuse, has that led you to be automatically, maybe even too suspicious of anybody claiming to be a prophet? I'd like to hear what you have to say. So leave me a comment, and thank you again for your membership. It's greatly appreciated, and I'm glad that we have this community together. I'm always open for suggestions for the website or for anything that we're doing. Would love to hear them. joshpeckdisclosure@gmail.com. That's how you can get a hold of me. All right, everybody. Thank you so much. Until next time, have a great day. Take care. God bless.